It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. I am Batman. All right. Well, maybe I'm not Batman. I'm Bert Martinez. It's good to have you here. You know what? I was asked a question that was kind of intriguing. I was surprised by my answer, but it was a truthful answer. So somebody asked me, Bert, in a perfect world, what would you do? How many hours would you work? How would you spend your time? And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I don't think I'd change a thing. I love what I do. Now, I might add to it. I might expand. So I thought about it. You know what? Money for Lunch has been doing more and more streaming videos, so I might do more of that. I might create a studio. But I would probably travel more and do more on-location interviews. I would write more books. I would do more speaking engagements. I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, I love interviewing people because it helps me and it helps you guys. I also am in a great position that I get to vacation 24/7. In one sense, right? I mean, I love what I do, so I don't need a vacation from it. Now, my wife needs a vacation from it, and my kids are always up for a vacation. But, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. I am putting together a scuba diving trip. I love to scuba dive, and during this scuba diving trip, I'm bringing some clients with me. And we're going to spend a day scuba diving, but we're also going to spend 2 days working on the their businesses. I don't need a vacation. Man, my life is a vacation. How about yours, right? So what a gift it is to be able to love what you do for a living. And it's even a bigger gift when we're able to make a good living at it, right? And speaking of doing what you love to do and making a good living at it, my first two guests on the show, these are Blaine Elkers and Chuck Troutman here on the show. These guys love what they do. They're passionate about helping people like you and me build our businesses, and they're regular contributors. And I'm going to bring these guys on the show right now and get it started because it's always fun to learn from these guys. So let me tell you a little bit about them. Blaine Elkers is a lifetime entrepreneur, a graduate from Purdue University and Stanford University entrepreneurship program. He's achieved over $100 million in sales and coached thousands of people just like you and me in business and in self-development. He's a certified guerrilla marketing coach and wrote a book with J. Conrad Levinson, the father of guerrilla marketing, called Guerrilla Marketing on the Front Lines. He helps business owners with their business and their personal implementation plans to elevate themselves to a higher level called You 2.0. He's currently the president of the Arizona Marketing Association, and we met through the Arizona Marketing Association. I'm also a member of the Arizona Marketing Association. And it's just a great place for those individuals who want to get around like-minded people and grow their business. Chuck Troutman is a U.S. Marine Vietnam veteran who was honorably discharged at the rank of sergeant. After a short stint in corporate America, he realized his true calling was to be an entrepreneur. He owned and built several multi-million dollar businesses, including an automotive parts business. He grew a company to $25 million in sales and a retail golf equipment business he grew from scratch to $10 million in sales. Gentlemen, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, Bert. Thanks for having us. Yeah. Bert, my life is a vacation, Martinez. Love that opening.
Yeah, that was a great line.
Well, you know what? Look. For example, you know, Chuck, you and I are working on a project together that involves helping teams sell more tickets, fill empty seats, and that's a fun project. And you know, especially that's a fun project, especially if you're a sports fan, especially if you love attending sports. You know, and that includes football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever. So, you know, you and I don't need a vacation necessarily from that because these are some of the things that we love to do. Blaine, on the other, you know, you love to help businesses. Both of you guys love to help businesses. And so I'm not saying that we never need a break or just need family time. It's always good to connect with ourselves. It's always good to connect with our family. But in general, we're doing what we love to do, which is helping businesses. And I think, you know, I want to hear, I guess, hear it from you guys. But, you know, to be able to take an idea from scratch and watch it blossom is exciting every time. It's like, you know, pinch me. This is fun. What do you guys think?
Yeah, this is Blaine. I agree, and we have something we call the Powerball test, and we talk about if you won the Powerball, you know, you'd spend the money, you buy stuff, you travel, you do all that stuff, but a year later, you know, you still probably have $50 to $100 million in the bank, and you've done all those things you wanted to do. What would you do then? And, you know, it's great when someone like yourself and myself says, well, you know, 90% of what I do, I'd still be doing, right? I still would like that. I would still go run these events for the Arizona Marketing Association. I would still help people with their business. And it's funny because I've used that in a workshop. And, all, you know, 90% of the time, it always flows back to, after you dig a little bit, is people say, well, I would help other people do blank. Now, the blank is different for everybody, but it's funny
right.
how it always returns back to, you know, that they'd be empowering and they'd be helping, you know, other people in some way. So, it's I fully agree.
Yeah, I do too. You know, it's not really work when we have fun doing it. I mean, yes, it's work. That's what we like to work. It's in our blood. I always say I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't in the game. That's the game of business. It's much like probably a professional athlete when they have to retire, probably really don't want to because they'd be out of the game. So
absolutely,
it's fun.
Well, it is fun. And you know what? And let's look at a professional athlete who retires and. Since they don't have anything lined up, they not only do they get out of shape, but they most of them financially crumble. Why? Well, because they didn't have anything lined up to keep them excited about what they're doing. As opposed to you look at some of these other athletes who become coaches, they become announcers. They may have their own gym. They may have a coaching program to help adults as well as youth. They're taking their brand and they're expanding it, and they're continually expanding it. You know, you look at somebody like a Schwarzenegger who it went from athletics to movies to politics, back to movies. He's got several charities that he works with. He's got a school there. A business school, or no, I take that back. It's a political school there in California. You know, he's constantly regenerating himself. He's constantly keeping himself motivated onto the next thing. And that's, you know, I think that's the difference between those individuals who fade and die a slow death, and those individuals like us who are going to be doing something that we that keeps us excited until the day we drop dead.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, let's talk about this. Both of you guys have a background in guerrilla marketing, and today I'd like to cover guerrilla marketing. Blaine, I know that you are a certified guerrilla marketing coach, as I mentioned in the intro there. So why don't you start us off? Tell us, what is guerrilla marketing?
All right. So originally the term was coined by J. Conrad Levinson back in 1984. He wrote a book called Guerrilla Advertising. and he talked about guerrilla marketing, and it was a type of marketing, not like big agency style marketing, brand marketing, but it was a type of kind of stealth where you invest time, energy, and imagination rather than dollars. So a lot of guerrilla marketing techniques are typically low cost, but high impact and highly creative. So you're kind of using your mind over money, sometimes unconventional too, usually personal and very memorable. And also the effectiveness is measured in results. It's not necessarily about brand building. Sometimes it's a little bit about PR, but it's also, if you were to talk to Jay about it, he'd say, look, I want measurable results. Not just a lot of viral stuff, but I want measurable results. So it's that low cost, high impact, highly creative style of marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Blaine, this is Chuck, and I'm with you all the way. I've done a couple seminars on grassroots marketing, which is the same thing. And one of the things I always start with is that no matter what you're doing, even this low cost type guerrilla marketing, you got to know your money math and you got to track everything. If you don't track it, it don't hack it, so to speak.
I love that. I love that. If you don't track it, you don't. What is it? If you don't track it, it.
If you don't track it, it don't hack it.
It don't hack it. I love
that
it. I love it.
That is a new one. That is a new one. I have been around for a while, so that's awesome.
That's a write or downer, as we say. You know what? And I love this idea of guerrilla marketing, because sometimes people, and we all hear this, people will say things like, I don't have the money to market my business. And guerrilla marketing is about taking the resources you have and using them, not about what you don't have. And so many people focus on what they don't have, and therefore they automatically limit themselves. What I love about what you're talking about, guys, is that it's not necessarily about money. I mean, look, worst case scenario, you could pick up the phone and start dialing and smiling. That's low cost, highly effective. A lot of people don't want to do it because it's also, you know, high rejection rate. But still, there are many businesses who have grown into the billions. And they started by doing guerrilla marketing type tactics, these low cost, high ROI tactics.
You bet. You know, Blaine, before he was president, was taught our group several years ago about the use of the bounce back coupon, which is a form of guerrilla marketing. It's a very clever form, actually.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and so guerrilla marketing, too, is also a lot of things like, you know, how you answer the phone, right? What your logo mm-hmm. looks like. It's a lot of things. It's all these different areas that can affect your business. An example, though, like Chuck said, is the bounce back coupon. And so for us, I owned a Domino's Pizza franchise, and we had this, kind of a guerrilla marketing mantra we had is that no box ever leaves without a coupon on top of it, right? So every box had to have some type of a bounce back coupon on top of it. But when I looked at, you know, how could I then guerrilla marketize that coupon on the box top, I thought, well, what if I wasn't paying for that top, you know, for that coupon that goes on the top of the box? And so what we ended up doing was we ended up doing a joint venture with a video video rental company that was very close to our location, and they ended up paying for the printing of those coupons. And then they passed out the coupons. We passed out a lot more than them. We sold a lot more pizzas than they rented videos. But they paid for those coupons. And what happened is, as we did follow-up, which is another guerrilla marketing weapon, is extreme kind of outrageous customer service, is that we would call, you know, we would interview customers either when they called in or did outbound calls to get to know the customer better and better and better. And what we found out is the people that were redeeming our dollar off coupon, we said, well, how did you remind yourself? Well, I said, when the pizza box came in, I took the coupon and I put it on the fridge, and, you know, then we used it tonight, you know. And so what we did is we took that information and we used that more in more of a guerrilla way, and we realized that if we put a post-it note on top of the pizza box and then we said at the top, you know, stick me on your fridge, you know, that would work better. And that probably increased our response rate from the coupons by 30%. So it was, anyway, you can use the creativity, you know, and your time and your effort, you know, more so than, you know, just throwing money at marketing. I think it's a lot more effective to use that low cost kind of high impact, but use that creativity and customer feedback makes a big difference.
I love that. And what's so good about what you just said, if people are listening, and you said this crazy idea of having outrageous customer service, you know, and interacting or interviewing your customers to find out, you know, what's motivating them, what's keeping them coming back. Anybody can do that. This is not about not having enough money. This is about interacting with your clients, delivering high quality, amazing service. It's not a cost thing. It's a standards thing.
I'm also amazed, you know, at what people don't do. You go into a lot of restaurants, but other business too, and there's a drawing for the free lunch or the free whatever, and you put your business card in the fishbowl. And you never hear from that business ever. And we teach that they should take those business cards and plot them on a map to see where they are in relationship to their physical location. And because you want to know that, and then hit that area with low cost advertising, door hangers, every door direct or whatever. And beyond that, you would call your winner, but you would send emails and put them on your list of everybody to put the cards in. And maybe one of Blaine's favorite things is, no matter what we're doing for a contest, everybody's a winner, and you could do that there as well.
Yeah, I love that.
Even if you did like a, you know, instead of a free lunch, maybe they buy one, get one free, but you give that to everybody. And so it's that creativity that makes a big, you know, guerrilla marketing promotion work. I mean, there's some famous examples, you know, you got the Oscar Mayer Wiener car or, you know, thing that, you know, looks like the big hot dog driving around. The Goodyear blimp was a good one. GM gave away cars on Oprah, where everyone on Oprah's show got a free car. It cost them about $8 million, but the publicity, that they got from that was, maybe 5-10 times that in value. Simpler things like a sidewalk chalk, you know, going out and doing advertisements on the sidewalk, and chalk that just kind of washes away later. I remember one time a guy was renting his forehead space, so he put a temporary tattoo of some type of advertising on his forehead, and then put that around throughout in social media. The other thing that's cool now is that technology is allowing for more and more guerrilla marketing promotions, because things like print on demand, right, where you can, you know, Chuck has a book, and I've got a book too, but he's got a book, and he'll go speak someplace, and he could print up, if he's speaking to a group of, say, 25 people, you could custom print the cover specifically for that event, right? And these books now to print, even with a custom cover, might only be $3, $4 a piece, right? So there's that on-demand book printing. There's the ability to buy specific domain names, right? I was working with someone who wanted to reach the CEO of Uber, right? So realize you could buy the domain name CEO of Uber likes this.com, and then you send them an email from that, or put up a quick website. It's that kind of out of the box thinking that really, I think, pays big dividends. Now, there are a couple of caveats with guerrilla marketing where it's gone astray, and that is, you know, if people are scared or upset in a negative way, you got to be careful. You don't want to break the law. You don't want to try to be something you're not. You want to stay authentic to who you are, who your brand is, and you don't want to annoy your target audience. There was the real famous one was Turner Networks. They put out these little Cartoon Network things. It was called Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but it had batteries and it looked like a bomb. So it created this big bomb scare in Boston. You can kind of Google it. It was crazy. But you can't go amok. But the main thing is, don't look to scare up or upset people. Don't be something that you're not. Stay authentic, and then make sure you're not annoying your target audience with that guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, I like that. Go ahead.
Here's someone could knock off. I did this years ago in the golf business. Haven't did it a long time ago, but you know, we use obscure holidays as opposed to the standard ones to market with, and I found that April 7th was National Beer Day. So I would do a customer appreciation night. I'd call it New Beer's Eve, and had a lot of fun with that.
You know what? And here's something that I love about being a member of the Arizona Marketing Association. I'm just going to throw this out there. And this is a really small thing, but I enjoy sharing it and taking full credit for it, and that is every month we receive a newsletter from you guys, and in that, speaking of, you know, obscure dates, you have a list of dates, not only the like you said, like the well-known national dates, but some of the weird dates that, you know, like, for instance, I think today is both Pi Day and Pi Day. So it's Pi Day as well as Pie Day. And so those are a couple of dates that I was not aware of. But, you know, you could invite your friends over for, for pie, or not your friends, but your customers over for pie. Or you could have a lot of fun with it. Hey, I'm going to cut you in on a piece of the pie, or, you know, today our pizza pies are only, you know, are only XYZ or whatever. And so, again, it's not about, what do you call it, being spending a bunch of money. I love this idea of New Beer's Eve and things of that nature. I think it's fantastic. It seems to me, and I want to get you guys' input from this, I think it's you know, what it really takes to utilize guerrilla marketing is, A, thinking out of the box, being creative, and then having the courage to pull the trigger. Because I know a lot of people will probably say, oh, you know what, that's a good idea. And then they'll second guess themselves and say, oh, but, you know, it may not work, or people might criticize me, or and so they talk themselves out of even trying.
Well, you have to have the guts to be a little outrageous, because that's what attracts attention. And back to Pi Day for just a minute. We had a former member who's since sold his business, Zach Wilsterman, and he did a Pi Day promotion for his engineer clients, and the big ones, he actually delivered a real pie, but had the pie symbol in the crust on top, and he got a lot of mileage out of that.
See, yeah, I love that.
I think for people, you know, when it's highly creative and the cost is really low, we see people, you know, pull the trigger more often. So I think that's one of the cool things about the guerrilla marketing. You may be a little bit scared about it, but it's such a low cost method, you know, that it allows you to pull the trigger on more things and try more things. And I know Chuck, I don't know if you want to give away, you know, Chuck has there's a website that Chuck shares that has, I don't know, it must have 30 or 40, you know, of these what day of the week it is, or what the special day is, or the dates.
More than that, Blaine, it's got 60 or 70 or more per month, because there's things happen on multiple days, and I don't mind giving that away at all. It's a cool site for business owners to have in their back pocket. It's brownielocks.com, spelled Brownie, locks, LOCKS.com, and it's a great resource for obscure holidays for people to use.
Yeah, so today is also, I'm on the site now, it's also Potato Chip Day today, Organize Your Home Office Day today, you know, Save a Spider Day. So, but the nice thing I like about the site is it sounds a little goofy, but for many of these days, the sites provide a link to show you the proof of, you know, of the association or the organization or the backstory behind it, right? So there's a lot of great, you know, reference materials that's available for those days. It's not, you know, it's not just made up. It really kind of gives you the links back to who's organizing and running that. So anyway, great resource, especially that's a great guerrilla marketing resource. So thanks, Chuck.
Absolutely. And you know what, speaking of, again, guerrilla marketing is, you know, you could start creating your own date, right? I mean, I don't know how difficult it is, but again, I guarantee you it's not a lot of money and maybe a little bit of paperwork. You know, I mean, if they can have a Save a Spider Day, then you can have, you know, all sorts of days. You know, you could have a Hug Your Reptile Day if you're in the pet shop industry. You know, I don't know, a hole in one day if you're in the golfing industry. You know, it's again, you're limited by your imagination. But I love this idea, brownielocks.com for weird and obscure days.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So again, guerrilla marketing is about being creative, looking for low cost, creative ideas, and then again, pulling the trigger. Let me ask you this. Are there any other principles and weapons of guerrilla marketing that you want to, you know, touch on while we're talking about it?
Well, a couple of things is that that, you know, with guerrilla marketing, instead of kind of traditional linear growth, you're looking for geometric growth. And that's because what Jay, when he founded guerrilla marketing, it wasn't just about marketing for new customers. He has a tremendous focus on existing customers. And that's how you get kind of a geometric growth, is that delivery is focused on customer experience, like we said before, outrageous customer follow-up and experience for customers. And he would say spend as much as 60% of your marketing budget on your existing customers. And what happens is that delivers more transactions, larger transactions, and a whole heap of referral transactions, and it develops that long-term relationship. And so when you're looking at your personality and you're kind of letting your authentic self come through, like we call Chuck Sergeant Chuck, and he's a Marine, and that comes through in his marketing and his style, and he attracts the right kind of people that are going to take his kind of no BS, you know, consulting, which is going to give it to you straight, you know, that stuff works really well. So I think one is, don't miss out on focusing on your existing customers. It's really, really strong. And also, the other big thing is that guerrilla marketing doesn't spend much time on competition, and it actually looks for ways that you could cooperate with other businesses. So it talks a lot about, we call it marketing fusion. But I could have seen this down the street video store place as a competitor, but instead, you know, we kind of came together and did things together. So always looking for ways to cooperate with businesses, not necessarily compete. Also, marketing combinations are key. So use, you know, direct mail with a website or email with texting. You know, guerrilla marketing uses a lot of combinations and a larger array of weapons. So we have a list of over 100 different guerrilla marketing weapons that you can deploy, but it's important to have a big list. That's where the creativity comes through. That's where, you know, you don't feel like you're stuck in any one area. And I think most of them, at least 50% or more of them, you know, don't have any kind of cost with them at all. It can be like following up with a customer. It can be simple, the way you answer the phone. You know, it can be a lot of different things like that. So those are some of the kind of nuances of guerrilla marketing.
Well, go ahead, Chuck.
One that I like also, Bert, and you're really good at this, and that is associating yourself or your business with a celebrity, like you know, your buddies with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you give people the opportunity to hang out with them and have photo ops and all of that. But you can also, when you're doing the guerrilla or grassroots marketing for no money, is you can use dead celebrities and tie them to your business. You know, Ben Franklin has got two great virtues as a celebrity. One, he's dead, and no copy approvals are needed. So that's pretty good, and he was a public figure, so you can use him absolutely free. And I think you could say the same for Lewis and Clark or Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett or Thomas Jefferson or George Washington. I mean, you can use those to hitch your wagon to maybe have your image either be clever or come off, and then using live celebrities, of course, like you do with Arnold, where you may have to pay a little money, but it's okay. You know, I've had a lot of pictures taken with people at GKIC events, and they're kind of you know, cheesy sometimes, because you always have that fake smile on your face. But years ago, I had my picture taken with Ivanka Trump, and I had a good time using that during the election, and I got a great pose with George Foreman where we both had our fist up. So those are all kind of fun to use in your marketing.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because look, whether or not it's cheesy, it doesn't matter. You know, the way I look at it is that a picture with somebody, with a celebrity, or a, let's say, the other example that you gave, which with a dead celebrity, these are nothing more than conversation starters. I mean, especially if it's a timely situation with Ivanka Trump in the political campaigns, or, you know, if it's her birthday, or if she comes out with a new product line, you could always bring it up and say, you know, and tie it into your business along with that picture. It's a conversation starter. It's also what I like to call it's a brain penetrator, in the sense that, you know, if you use that picture two or three times, let's say during a 12-month period, people are going to associate Chuck with the power brand Ivanka Trump, or with George Foreman, or with, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or with Ben Franklin or Lewis and Clark. If you use it cleverly enough, if you you know, with creativity and you use it two or three times, they make that connection, and that's all good. And and as we said, it's a low cost item, but a lot of people will only, and I think this is a mistake, they only use it one time, and it doesn't yield the results it should or could.
Yeah, I agree. Like the guys that went back with you and had their picture taken with Arnold, they need to use that multiple times so people really do get there's a connection.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? And I want to also talk about this. The one thing, Blaine, that you said that I want people to take away again, because I think this is a massively missed opportunity, and that is your existing customers are your best customers for new sales, additional sales, upsells, and a lot of people don't have a program for that. Back to what you were saying, Chuck, that, you know, all these restaurants or retail shops that are doing the fishbowl, but then they don't act on the fishbowl. You know, you have all these existing customers, but you're not doing anything with them. You're waiting for them to do something with you, and it's not going to happen.
Right.
Yep, that's right.
It's amazing to me. You know, again, all these companies are working so hard to get a customer, but yet they do very little once they get the customer. Hey, great, Bob bought something. What else can Bob buy? Or, you know, or Susie or whatever. And it's all about building that relationship. And I think that one of the things I've learned from our teacher, Dan Kennedy, we're all fans of Dan Kennedy, is Dan Kennedy used to say that 20% of your clients will buy your next product.
Right.
That's pretty big. I mean, you know, if you have 100 customers, great. That's 20 sales, but that's 20 sales you didn't have. And then the next product is going to be, you know, whatever 20% of 20 is. That's 4 or 5, 4, I think. And so you know, again, depending on your profit margins and stuff like that, that could be significant. You know, and I know that you guys have probably seen this as much as I have, if not more, and that is I'm always amazed how many customers, and I want to say it's a high percentage of the customers that I work with. And when I say a high percentage, something like 90% of the customers I work with have no follow-up program and have no and do not work with their existing customer base. They're just looking for the new customer, and that's it.
Yep, very true.
Yep,
very true,
yep.
and that's
very
a big
true.
Problem, you know, in business. Very big problem.
Yeah, we have a whole seminar we do on that too, and how to get more 21 ways to get more business from existing customers, because that is the least expensive and highest conversion that you could have of people that already know, like, and trust you. And I mean, Blaine gave a statistic earlier that how much money that Jay Conrad Levinson thought should be spent on the existing list. It was 60% that Blaine gave. I think that's right, Blaine, right?
Yeah. And the moment, there's a moment of power when someone buys from you. At that moment is when you want to start what we call the bounce back process, to have them bounce back and do business with you again. And so there's that moment of power that people just kind of bungle away because they're not in tune to that. And again, that's, you know, sitting down, thinking about it. The number one thing you could do is to really sit down and think about your business, you know, time to think and work, you know, on your business instead of in your business. It's actually what we do at the Arizona Marketing Association every month. But taking that time to really think and map some of that stuff out is huge. That's where this kind of, you know, innovation, and I see people take big leaps in their business forward, is when they spend a little time in the thinking side of the business and have a kind of a breakthrough, you know, with their customer engagement and relationship.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this real quick, because we only have a few minutes left, and that is, how can someone learn more about guerrilla marketing? What resources would you guys have people check out so they can learn more?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you can actually attend or check out our association, because we teach a lot of those principles, ArizonaMarketingAssociation.com, so ArizonaMarketingAssociation.com. If you want to email me, I'm happy to send you a list of the 100 guerrilla marketing weapons, and my email, similar to Chuck's, it's Blaine, Blaine, @azmkt.com. azmkt.org. So Blaine at azmkt.org, and I'll send you that list. And I think that's probably a good place to start. And I think it's well worth your investment. Into looking into guerrilla marketing, it'll definitely save you a lot of money in the area of marketing. And I think really improve your business by lowering the cost, but also getting your creativity up. You don't feel as vulnerable when you start getting some real creative marketing going, and you see that working.
So I would say what I would like your listeners to do, Bert, if they're here in the Phoenix area. First of all, we have members in 8 states besides Arizona and in 3 foreign countries, and the reason that we have members out of Arizona is the stuff that we teach, like we're talking about right now, works everywhere. It doesn't just work in Arizona. But I would encourage people to invest $1 and go to tryazma.com. Again, tryazma.com, and for that dollar, they will be a member of the association. They'll have access to over a year's worth of our past teachings on video and audio format, and they will be able to come check us out live. Our next live event is on April 12th, and they'll get to eat a little dinner from 6:30 to 7 p.m. at the Rio Salado College Conference Center. Then they'll be able to see our program. And our guarantee is if someone does that and they feel they wasted their time, we refund their dollar, and we donate $50 to a charity of their choice. So they really can't lose. And we've never had anybody want their dollar back because they thought their time was wasted. But if they do, we're very willing to donate to the charity of their choice.
I love that. I love that. And I can tell you, Chuck and I met because he came on my radio show, and he came on 2 or 3 times. And eventually I got off my butt and I checked out the Arizona Marketing Association, and I love it. It is a place that like-minded people, meaning people who have businesses, business owners, solo entrepreneurs, small companies can go there and get massive help. And here's something else, because we all talked about this. Sometimes the biggest stumbling block we have is our fear. And what's so nice about getting around people like the members the Arizona Marketing Association is that they build you up. They encourage you. They can share ideas with you. They can tell you, oh yeah, I tried this, and here are my results. They can critique maybe a sales letter that you have or a promotion that you're thinking about launching, and that is invaluable. It's priceless to get around like-minded people who are willing to pat you on the back and say you can do it. It's amazingly powerful.
Well, Bert, thanks for sharing your opinions with it. We appreciate that testimonial on your show.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're out of time, but you know what? This is fantastic. I love this guerrilla marketing idea because, again, it's not about just spending oogobs of money. You can sit there, as you guys already mentioned. First place to go to is your existing list. What a great resource that is. Another resource is brownielocks.com for weird and obscure dates. And then if you really are serious, you can reach out to Blaine at Blaine, B-L-A-I-N-E, at azmkt.org, and he'll send you 100 ideas, guerrilla marketing ideas, to get you started. And of course, you can join us for dinner in April 12th. I think that'll be a fun experience for all of us. I'm going to be there. And I want to say, Blaine and Chuck, thank you so much for stopping by. Look forward to next time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bert. Have a great day. Great show.
Thanks, Bert. Bye.
All right. You bet. Good stuff there from Blaine and Chuck from the Arizona Marketing Association. And it is an association that I subscribe to. It's a place that I like to go to, and you meet incredible people. So I want to urge everybody in the Phoenix area to go there. And even if you're out of the Phoenix area, you know what? They have people from I think Holland or Sweden or in Spain. I mean, it's become an international organization because what they teach works everywhere, and it works for every business. And so no matter where you're listening from, if you want to find out, if you want to get connected, you can access literally thousands of hours of resources with the Arizona Marketing Association. And again, that alone itself is worth what do you call it, tens of thousands of dollars to be able to get and access the training. So anyway, good stuff there. Always fun to have Blaine and Chuck here from the Arizona Marketing Association. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My next guest, speaking of the Arizona Marketing Association, this is a young lady I met through the Arizona Marketing Association. She's also a member. Tanya Shively is an award-winning interior designer who works with prominent clients in the Scottsdale area as well as around the country. She's Arizona's foremost authority on green design. Tanya, who has 21 years of design experience, is an accredited professional certified in leadership in energy and environment design program. Her upcoming book on green design is the latest in her series of publications. She is a best-selling author of the book, How to Avoid Interior Design Nightmares, and the guide entitled The Do's and Don'ts of Designing Your Dream Home. Tanya Shively, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. Glad to be
here. It's good to have you here. And you know what? This is kind of interesting because when you and I chatted the other day, you know, one of the things that you talked about is about having a healthy home. And I don't think a lot of people consider their home health. I mean, but really, our home can be can help us or hurt us with depending on how you build that home with the products that you put into it. Correct?
Absolutely true. Unless people have some health problems that someone else ties back to possibly their environment and their home, you're right. Most people don't think about it. But the fact is, and this is a really interesting statistic. Our indoor air in our homes is typically 4 to 5 times more polluted than the outside air. And in the worst cases, it's 100 times more polluted. And I don't think anybody realizes that.
No, I am shocked to hear that. That's amazing. That is amazing. All right, we'll talk about this. You've been an interior designer for 21 plus years. Talk about your story a little bit. How did you get started? What was the attraction? And did you, let's say, set out to be an interior designer, or is it something that you kind of, you know, fell into? Talk about your story a little bit.
You know, actually, I realized in high school that I wanted to be an interior designer professionally. But when I look back over my childhood, I realized that some of my favorite things to do were design related. I was a bit of a tomboy. I liked to build forts. I liked to play with Legos. And when I did, I built houses. I loved to rearrange the furniture in my bedroom and the living room and wherever else my mom would let me. So I learned space planning and design by doing it when I was like 8, 9, 10 years old.
That
is amazing.
And then I
took class. Yeah. It's kind of funny how you can be sometimes born to do something. But I didn't, at that point, I didn't even know what interior design was. And then in my high school, they actually had an interior design class, and I took that, and I was like, okay, here we go. This is exactly what I want to do with my life. It incorporates the creative, artistic aspect, which was another big thing that I was always drawing when I was a kid. So I was able to use my artistic talents, but also more than just providing, you know, art and beauty for people, I'm helping them to improve the spaces that they live in. And to me, that's amazing. That's a fantastic calling.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because Chuck and Blaine and I were talking about about that. And somebody had asked me, "Hey, Bert, you know, if you could have your ideal life, how many hours a week would you work?" And I told them, I said, "You know what? I'm on vacation 24/7. I love what I do. I'm, you know, and to be able to have that situation, you've been loving what you do since high school, even before that. But what a great gift that is to, again, do what you love to do, and better yet, make a good living at it. I just don't think there's anything better than that."
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, excuse me. I want to ask you this. Because your website says your clients' lives are easier, less stressful, and more pleasurable and beyond beautiful. Talk about this. What is your process to make that happen? That's kind of a bold statement from interior designer.
It is, but it's true, because what I'm really doing beyond just making things pretty and even beyond making things functional or more healthy, what I'm really doing is helping my clients to go through this process in a way that is easier and even makes it fun for them. Because for a lot of people, building or remodeling a house is one of the most stressful things they do in their lives. There's so many decisions to be made. I mean, thousands upon thousands of decisions to be made. And they typically don't trust themselves to make the right decisions, and they don't even know where to start or where to look. So my process is a very collaborative one, which helps ensure that they get exactly or better than what they envision, and they're not railroaded into my ideas of what their home should look like. But we work together to make sure that their home feels comfortable to them, is exactly what they want, is beautiful, and is welcoming to their family, to their guests, and they love being there.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that. And you know, it's so funny. You mentioned how stressful remodeling your house is. You know, forget remodeling your house. It's, you know, just trying to do anything for your house can be amazingly stressful. You know, just to trying to agree on the temperature of the home. You know, painting a room. You know, could lead to you know, physical harm, right? I mean, it's just, it is so weird how sometimes unpleasant doing the simplest things can sometimes become, not to mention, as you're saying, when you're remodeling somebody's house and there's so many choices and so many decisions to make, you start to pull out your hair.
Yeah. Especially if you've got two people whose tastes maybe don't exactly align. I frequently have said that my job is part marriage counselor, part psychologist too. And luckily for me, that was also an interest of mine early on. Before I took that interior design class, I kind of thought about maybe being a psychologist. So I guess maybe I am really in the right field.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So, you know, not to embarrass you, but I want to talk about this real quick. Tell me a little bit about the awards for interior design, because I know you've won a few. So talk about this.
Yeah, thanks. I have won a few different awards. There's ASID, which is the American Society of Interior Designers, has an annual award contest where you can submit your projects, and it's judged by your peers, by professional designers from another area of the country. And so I have won a few different awards. One of the ones that I'm really proud of was a first place award for a powder room that I designed, which gets tons of attention still. It's a few years old, but I just got a call the other day from someone who came across it on the internet and said, "I love this. Can you build me one and send it across the country?" Because it's a custom countertop and sink. There's been a few others. Also got a platinum award, which was great because the builder actually acknowledged us. The builder is the one who truly won the award for platinum from American Builders. And that was an incredible home that I worked on up in Desert Mountain. And they acknowledged the work of the designers and all the other people. And so that's one that I'm proud of having as well.
You know what? And I have to, you know, say something that's remarkable that the builder had enough, I guess, goodwill, what's the word I'm looking for, maturity, that he didn't hog the entire award, that he felt compelled to include you in part of that, winning that award, because obviously it was a team effort.
Absolutely, and truly the key, and that's one of the great things about the wonderful people that I've worked with, is they are all team players, you know, and this particular builder, that completely embodies exactly his attitude towards building a house. It's a team project.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. All right, so let's talk about this. You know, you're known as Arizona's foremost expert on green design. When did you get that passion for this, you know, healthy, environmentally, you know, design part of your business?
That goes back to my childhood as well. I grew up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which, as I'm sure you know, is one of the most amazing, beautiful places on earth. And so I have a deep appreciation for the beauty of nature and for preserving that environment. So that's a big deal. But the other thing that ties directly into building a healthy home is that my father had severe chronic asthma. And that's one of those things that can really be affected by the air quality in your home and by a number of different factors in your home. And so growing up, seeing him struggle with that and even being close to death a few times, that really made me want to focus on creating a healthier environment for other people and trying to help make sure that other people are not dealing with that same level of illness because of the environment that they live in.
Yeah, it's amazing. And again, we talked about this, you know, at the top of the show, top of your segment there, where we don't think about, you know, what's in our home. I mean, years ago, lead paint was in all our homes. And of course, you know, over time, we've gotten rid of that. And asbestos was in a lot of homes. We've gotten rid of that. And we, as consumers, we just don't realize that sometimes we have to be our own advocates and really look at what we're putting in our homes. And I'm shocked. I'm still reeling from the stat that you gave me that the air quality in our homes could be anywhere from, you know, 4 to 100 times worse than the air outside. And let me tell you, if you've ever had a party at your house that included beans and beer, I could see it getting really bad really quick.
Yeah, that's very true. That is actually kind of one of the prime polluters on your indoor air is CO2, which, of course, we all emit every time we exhale. We're
right.
Putting out CO2 into our environment. And if you never open a window, if your home is built, you know, so tightly that there are no leaks and you never opened a door or a window, you would eventually asphyxiate, because it would be full of CO2 and no oxygen.
Yeah, and you know what? And I was not aware of this until a few years ago when we, you know, I guess it's been 5 or 6 years when we installed CO2 monitors or whatever they're called, along with the smoke detectors. And I think nowadays smoke detectors, a lot of them have CO2 detection as well, but we have it separately. But I was not aware that that was a thing until just a few years ago.
Yeah, actually the monitors are probably carbon monoxide, which comes from, you're getting that more from your appliances and your heating and cooling system, which is dangerous because you don't notice it. But the CO2 is a problem. It's probably not the biggest problem because, of course, we all go in and out of our homes and we do open windows once in a while, and that's really enough.
But gotcha. Yeah, I think you're right. It is carbon. Go ahead.
Yeah, but
I'm
some
sorry.
Of the other things you have to worry about are the things that you bring into your home. You know, talking about like the lead paint. Now the thing is to go to zero or low VOC paint. And that's something that most people don't realize, that new paint smell, those are actually chemicals, volatile organic compounds, as VOCs, that are off-gassing from the paint, and they're actually bad for you. New paint smell, new carpet smell, new car smell, none of those things are healthy.
Yeah, you know what? I think that, what was it, the story I read about last year was a company called Lumber Liquidators, who was importing all this flooring from China, and it was very toxic. I mean, it's literally in millions of homes, and it was so toxic that it was making people sick almost immediately. And and so they're being investigated and prosecuted, I believe, because they were trying to cut corners and not reducing the amount of toxicity costs money, so they just imported them as is. They didn't care. But again, it goes to show you that we have to be aware of that. And then a few years before that, there was the sheetrock scare, all that bad sheetrock again from China, you know, and again, it's something that we don't think about, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to just be aware of the stuff that we bring in, because we're going to be around it so much. Let's talk about this. When you're thinking green design, describe what that means to you.
Well, green design encompasses a lot of things. It addresses energy efficiency. It addresses water conservation. Of course, the indoor air quality is a big one. Sustainability, I think, is the one that a lot of people think of, using recycled and renewable products and materials. And then there is also an aspect towards environment, social responsibility, and where you locate your house and how much do you have to drive to get from your house to work to the grocery store, and kind of the bigger impact of where you live. But for me as an interior designer, energy efficiency is something that we look at. You know, we make sure we always are using Energy Star appliances, and we address it in our lighting designs and our lighting fixtures. And our, especially here in Arizona, window coverings can play a big role in your energy efficiency, because if we can keep the heat from coming into the house in the first place, then you don't have to do as much cooling to make it comfortable. Water conservation is another one. There are plumbing fixtures out there now that use a fraction of the water that they did even 10 years ago without sacrificing any of the performance or the luxury or the look or the style. So it's really an exciting time. It's getting to be easier and easier for me to accomplish a great look for my clients and, you know, address all of these factors.
Yeah, I like that. And let me ask you this. This is, again, specific to Arizona or any place that has a lot of sunlight. Are you seeing more and more use of solar energy or solar panels, things of that nature?
Absolutely. Yeah, solar is huge. I've seen statistics like it grew last year by, I don't know, I think like 200% or something like that, you know, over the year before. So every year, more and more solar. And that's across the country, really. But in Arizona, it's just silly not to take advantage of our 360 days of sun per year. It's free energy, really, you know.
Yeah.
You can even use passive solar. You don't necessarily have to install solar. You can use it passively in a number of ways.
Interesting. Yeah, I love it. I think that that's a standard for us here in the, you know, in the sunny desert. You know what? Let me ask you this, because it seems like when you're talking about producing a gorgeous house for somebody. You know, you mentioned the powder room that got all the accolades. And it seems like it's almost in odds with having an eco-friendly environment. So talk about that a little bit. How can you have your cake and eat it too?
Well, I think the first thing is to educate yourself. And then the second thing is to work with a team who is experienced and knowledgeable in green design, because they're going to know the materials and the products and the systems and the processes to create that without sacrificing any luxury or convenience. You know, things like, in fact, a lot of times convenience and luxury go hand in hand with creating a greener home. Things like a lighting control system that maybe also controls your window shades helps you save energy and makes your life just that little bit more convenient and luxurious at the same time.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great example. Tanya, we're out of time, and it's been fun having you on the show talking about interior design, both on the, what do you call it, eco-friendly side as well as on the design side. I want to give out your website, and the website that I have is Sessu Design, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, SessuDesign.com.
That's right.
Well, awesome. Tanya, it's been fantastic having you on the show. Looking forward to having you back again.
Thank you so much, Bert. Great talking with you.
All righty. Good stuff there from Tanya Shively, award-winning interior designer who works not only here in Arizona but across the country. As you can tell, she's not only passionate about it, she's been doing this for years. Since early on in her childhood, she was designing and organizing forts and treehouses and homes and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to get that background story on somebody like Tanya Shively. As always, I'm grateful that you guys have stopped by to spend some time with us. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.